Well, welcome everybody. Happy Tuesday afternoon. Darren Saul here, your host of Playing With Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. I have episode 58 here today, and I have a lovely guest with me by the name of Ali Xu. Is that how I pronounce your surname, Ali?
Yep.
Excellent. Look at that. Pretty good. First time. And we're going to be chatting today about how emotion and fear affects our health and well-being. And in particular, we're going to dive into the integration and the marriage between Eastern and Western philosophy, which is something that I'm fascinated about. And Ali's going to tell us all about her experience in this area. But before she does, I'd like to give Ali a little bit of an introduction so everybody knows who she is. Ali was born and raised in a fourth generation medical family in Shanghai, China, and moved to Australia when she was 15 years old. She's a registered pharmacist and holistic health coach specializing in emotional intelligence. She's currently completing her Master's of Chinese Medicine. Ali is also the founder of the Global Pharmacy Entrepreneur Community and the current host of Pharmacy Entrepreneur TV and podcast. She is passionate about showing pharmacists how to overcome fear. Ali uses Eastern and Western philosophies and coaching methods to assist pharmacists to identify their emotional blocks and barriers to increase emotional intelligence. Through one-on-one coaching, she empowers them to create a business and life they love. So welcome, Ali. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you, Darren.
Thanks for coming on the show. And as I mentioned, I'm fascinated, always been fascinated by Eastern philosophy and how Eastern philosophy can be integrated with Western philosophy. So I'm very, very excited to get into this with you today. But I thought before we do, tell the audience a little bit about you.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm a pharmacist. I went through pharmacy school, practiced for 10 years.
Wow,
10 years. Yeah, so after, practicing for 10 years or during that time, I did more coaching course and try to understand the emotion side of things, and specialize in emotional intelligence. And currently I'm also studying Master of Chinese Medicine, try to understand the mind and body connection from the Eastern medicine philosophy. I actually found a lot of interesting a similarity in the both. So it's very exciting journey to go through to understand the both sides of medicine.
Absolutely. And what made you so interested initially in emotional intelligence? Why did you go down that route?
Well, that's a really good question. So after graduating pharmacy school, I was really excited because of my family, they're all medical doctors, four generations, both Chinese medicine and Western medicine. I was really interested in healing, really interested in medicine, how to help people. That was my passion. Yeah. So after graduating pharmacy school, I thought, yes, I can finally have a license to get out there and tell people and how to be healthier and happier. But then after practicing years and years, I realized, well, okay, people are on medications, long-term medications, and they're not getting any better for some reason.
Yeah.
They're not happier and healthier as I would like them to be. What's wrong? Like, what can I do? Is there anything I'm not doing? Or, maybe I should start exploring. And because of during that time, I become really frustrated and feel really unfulfilled because people are not getting healthier or happier. And myself, because of the long hour of work and the high stress environment, I myself become really ill, was diagnosed with chronic fatigue, was really, really felt really, really tired, not be able to get out, to feel that I lost zest for life, and it was quite dark period of my life. And then I realized, well, how this emotion, this negative emotions is really, feel like really heavy, on my shoulders. I can't lift off. I can't break through. I can't be who I am. And then I start to study about emotion and learn about emotional intelligence. And that's how I start to learn and start to tell other people and start coaching, help other female entrepreneurs and pharmacists to overcome this emotional journey.
I love it. And you know what? That's so interesting because we chatted before about the fact that I'm a trained pharmacist as well. And I practiced pharmacy many, many years ago for 3 or 4 years. And I actually found it quite stressful. I was working in some very busy pharmacies. There were two pharmacists working at all times, nonstop. I would be lucky to take 5 minutes to have a sandwich or go to the bathroom before I come back and there was a whole row of scripts lining up, plus a million other issues to deal with. So I thought that, well, I don't know if I can do this for the rest of my life because it was very stressful. So really interesting that that's the angle you've taken to help pharmacists deal with stress and emotion and, you know, try and balance that a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a fascinating journey for me as well. So I'd love to, you know, talk more about your particular area of specialty, which is fear and emotion and how that affects us both from a Western and Eastern point of view. So maybe let's dive into that a little bit. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, sure. This is a term that I was introduced to when I was going through studying about my own emotion and trying to understand it all. Is this term called psychoneuroimmunology.
Wow.
It's a state of mind that affects one's state of health.
Okay.
It was actually researched early on in early 1980s by the psychologist and also immunologist. They combined work together at Ohio State University College of Medicine.
Uh-huh.
So what they did was they were intrigued by this animal studies that linked stress and infection.
Cool.
And so from 1982 through to 1998, their pioneer researchers actually start to study medical students.
Wow.
And then Mountsings then found that students with immunity went down every year when they're just under simple stress for a 3-day exam period.
Wow.
And then, you know, test takers, you know, have few, then realize those during that exam period, those medical students have fewer natural killer cells, which fights the actual tumor or virus infection. Yep. And they almost stop producing immunity boosting gamma interference.
Wow.
Words, but it's pretty much the immune system, the cells that protect you.
Wow.
And because of that study, more researchers start to take on this study, found really, really interesting. And in particular, a meta-analysis study revealed that people who are older are already sick, are more likely to prone to become stress, stress-related immune changes. So, there are a lot more study on that pathway about mind and body interaction connection.
Yes.
So for example, I've seen with college student chronic feeling of loneliness, a lot of people feel lonely, can help them to predict their health status.
Oh,
so
really?
If you feel lonely, you have more psychological stress and you experience more stress and then you have lower immunity.
Gotcha.
So that's the Western.
Everything boils down to immunity, doesn't it, really?
Yeah. So that's very interesting from the Western side of, you know, story through all these studies. And now I'm studying Chinese medicine, and what the traditional Chinese medicine says, emotions of physical health are completely connected.
Right.
And that sadness, nervous tension, anger, worry, fear, overwork, each actually associated part to a particular organ. So, for example, if you really irritable, really become angry, it actually affects the liver, resulting in menstrual pain, headaches, redness of face, eyes, dizziness, and dry mouth.
Wow.
And emotions like fear, feel like you don't have strong willpower, insecurity, feel isolated, it actually affects kidney function, which is the key organ for sustaining life.
That's right.
Responsible for reproduction, growth, development, and maturation. So kidney is a very important organ, from Chinese medicine point of view.
Yeah.
Even our bone, if you have bone, body aches, frequent urination, body and teeth, ears, all that relates to kidney qi imbalance.
Gotcha. Okay.
I know that it's a different concept and probably our listeners don't quite understand the Chinese medicine concept, but What I've tried to draw attention to you all is that, hey, both Western medicine and Eastern medicine are saying, hey, your mind and body are connected. And if you feel stress and fear, it relates to your health. Western medicine says about immunity, and Eastern medicine talking about specific organ that gets affected by these strong negative emotions.
Fantastic. And you mentioned the word chi. What is that? Chi is like our energy source. Is that what our chi
is? Yeah. So chi is energy. By living, moving, everybody has chi inside of them. Right, okay. So if you have a blockage of chi, the majority of people will have that pain or have the symptoms there. So yeah.
Perfect. And I mean, what are you finding in your journey over the years? Have you found that Western therapists and Western medical practitioners are starting to welcome Eastern medicine and Eastern philosophy more, or is there still a stigma attached or a pride attached to one or the other?
No, I definitely find a lot more Western medical practitioner has become open-minded and understanding Chinese medicine philosophy. I actually currently studying with a bunch of these medical practitioners. They're emergency consultants. Right. They're lots of GPs from different areas in Australia. They're also dentists, physiotherapists, or osteopath, even nurses, a lot of medical practitioners, specialists, endocrinologists, or just from different areas of medical specialties.
Fantastic.
Actually studying Chinese medicine to understand the Chinese medicine way of approach, which is great.
Which is amazing. And I'll tell you another little story. I mean, when I used to work in the pharmacy, we had patients coming in all the time, taking all sorts of things, chronically and whatnot. And we had a fantastic naturopath. I still remember her name. Her name was Jackie. I can't remember her surname, but Jackie was a fantastic naturopath. And sometimes she would take a patient that had been on therapy, Western therapy, for ages and ages and ages, do one or two consultations, give them some herbs and different things, and she would cure them of all sorts of different ailments. And I was always amazed by that, because it just went to show me how much we were leaving out when we didn't consider Eastern philosophy and Eastern medicine. So it was a fascinating experience, and this goes to show you that it's really about welcoming everything we have and putting it together, and then deciding what is best combination for the patient.
Yeah, well said. One thing I really want to point out is the Chinese medicine is very individualized. The reason why it can't be studied with it's still studied in the way of Western medicine, but the olden days, how they treat patients is when every case is different. You have different constitution, you're born differently, you have different gene from your parents, and you live in different state, different city, you live next to the river, you live next to the mountain. They're all different. What food do you eat, and what time you have your drink or food really determines your body, your nature of body, and then also determines what medication that physician will give it to you. So it's very personalized and individualized medicine.
Very true. Fascinating. And now, I mean, obviously we could go on and on and on and really go deep here, but I want to kind of take this into a direction that is more slightly in line with the times right now as well. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you mentioned emotion and fear. I mean, this time, obviously, we're starting to improve now. We're starting to get a little bit better in Australia. We're starting to remove the restrictions day by day. Mm-hmm. But it's still, a reasonably emotional time and a stressful time for people. Mm-hmm. And, there's still a lot of fear around. So what is your take on fear and emotion right now, in the sense of, what it's doing to us physically, and what we might be able to do to alleviate that from a Western
perspective? Yeah. I definitely feel a lot of sense of fear. So the reason this pandemic actually amplified the fear of loss, the fear of unknown, and fear of future. We had that fear before, but this pandemic has definitely amplified to a larger degree. And in pharmacies, you definitely can see a huge difference that you see people rushing in and try to grab medication from the shelf. Even pharmacists were abused, assaulted by the general public just because medications are out of stock, because too many people come in to stock up at the same time. It was hard to see and really hard to experience all that and the amount of stress the pharmacists are going through. So I can definitely feel that fear, coming through from everybody. Well, it is normal to actually to have fear. It is normal. It protects us from danger. Also, during pandemic, having a bit of fear is actually great. So that, which means we stop actually go out transmitting.
That's right.
Touching each other, hugging. Yeah. We actually remain social distance. Because of a little fear, we wash our hands according to the instructions, not just 1 second water done. Yeah, we wash our hands properly now. Yeah, and we know that we need to look after our elderly patient, let them just stay at home and not to let them go out. We help them out by buying groceries for them, leaving in front of door, all these great things coming up because we have fear. We don't want to get sick from this virus. But if it's overboard, if it's too much, well, in Chinese medicine, we're saying that everything is in balance, need to be balanced. If it's overboard, then can cause harm to our body. Mm-hmm. Especially, I just want to stress about stress, chronic stress. I see a lot of, in the community, a lot of patients, both in pharmacy as well as in the clinic that I'm currently practicing, people have lots of stress. Yeah. When I ask them what's your stress levels are out of 10, they were like 8 or 9. Even this pandemic, isolation, staying at home, that's huge stress for everybody. So what we can do is not to say it's not a good thing and turn away, but actually pay attention, be aware. Self-awareness is the first step of emotional intelligence. How can we help everybody to be aware, hey, okay, what I'm feeling is too much. What can I do to actually wind down or divert my attention? What should I do? What are the things I can do to help myself, not to halve my body?
Perfect. And that's actually a really good question. From an Eastern philosophy point of view, are there anything in particular, any particular tips or tricks that allow people to alleviate stress that, that might be different to Western philosophy, philosophy teachings?
It's very interesting that you've heard of breathing technique. Everybody has heard of breathing technique. Yep. It's not anything special. Yoga talks about breathing. If you want to do yoga, when people say yoga, you think of hardcore stretches. But the core of it is breathing. It teaches you how to breathe in and out and then feel yourself. Bring that awareness to your body. Exactly. Well, same as the Chinese medicine, Qigong and Tai Chi. It's different exercise, but the same concept of breathing. Bring awareness into your body. Connect your mind and body. So in terms of exercise, it's simple. It doesn't cost any money. Don't have to go to gym or do anything but breathe. Everybody know how to breathe. But it's the paying attention part that we need to be more aware of.
I like that. So when you mentioned self-awareness is the first step to emotional intelligence.
Yes,
I love that. That's brilliant. So true. And so now, Ali, how do you actually work with pharmacists and entrepreneurs? What do you actually do for them, in terms of
So I work with pharmacists, entrepreneurs one-on-one through one-on-one coaching using tools, specializing in emotional intelligence. By increasing emotional intelligence can help them to be more in tune with their body, with their emotion, and be able to solve problems a lot quicker. In a way, I feel a lot of pharmacists like me, I worked long hours in the pharmacy, in and out, day in and day out. I felt numb. Don't have any feelings. Often I was first asked, how do you feel? Only vocabulary came out was fine or good. So I lost that sense of feeling. So how I can help pharmacists to actually feel, because if you start feeling, you become more empathetic. You always have that sense of motivation and you actually connect with your patients more, with your colleague, connect with your managers or boss. And people feel that. It's an exchange of energy. People understand you better. People can hear you. You like and it. At the same time, you feel heard, you feel seen, if you understood.
I like it.
So and life becomes so much better that way.
I like that. And so are you saying self-awareness is also a great step towards awareness of others?
Yes, yes. So that's emotional intelligence is not only aware of yourself and regulate your own emotion, but also the social intelligence part is the second part of emotional intelligence. Because once we understand who we are, our feelings, then we start to become in tune of other people's feelings. How are they feeling? Especially being a pharmacist, that's a really important skill to have. Yeah. We're not just there putting stickers on the box. We're there to connect to the community and help them to solve their problems using our skills and tools.
Wow. And so you do a lot of coaching for pharmacists and entrepreneurs to help them manage their businesses, manage their day-to-day in the most least stressed environment possible. Is that right?
Yeah. So we will always feel the stress. But also what I'm trying to do with entrepreneur pharmacists is open their mind as well to understand the different possibilities. So when we are operating in a small, single-minded, that's the only solution, only way to do things, we feel stuck. But if we have so many resources that we can do so much more, we become more innovative. And when we know, when we start to aware of our feeling and then know how to actually regulate it, the world has become our oyster. We have so many choices, so many options. Oh, we can connect with the world and
stuff. You're so relaxed already after all that. Amazing.
Yeah, so it's all about that state of mind.
Gotcha. I love it. And do you yourself practice meditation, Tai Chi, yoga, anything like that?
Yeah, so like slow movement, but again, it's that breathing. It's very important. I'm also learning. We can never stop learning. So we can always improve in this understanding of ourselves. So every day I'm trying to understand and question why do I do things this way? Why do I feel this way? Yeah. You know, just to understand myself, my own feeling, and be more in tune and aware of it.
Perfect, perfect. Now, I'm wondering if you have any case studies or examples of, you know, pharmacists or businesses that you've worked with that you've been able to really help through your coaching.
Yeah, I actually had a case, was a pharmacist under really high stress. Okay. It actually caused a lot of pain in different areas. It's also due to what happened, how she grew up as well, that she was conditioned and was told a lot of things, and she has strong belief of she's not good enough, not able to do things. Mm-hmm. So all that belief really, made her become really difficult to break through and have a happier and healthier life. Yeah. So it's going through the work of feeling these emotions and then be able to identify these emotions and feel the pain where they are. Because a lot of time we feel that our body is disconnected. I feel in my shoulder, but how do I feel at the same time is to connect the feeling with that emotion, with that pain.
I see. So connect the physical and the
physical emotion. And the emotion together.
I like it.
So it's a work in progress, but through the exercises, it can help the pharmacist to identify the feeling a lot better. Once they identify, everybody knows what to do. We all have the answer inside of us. As a coach, I'm there as a sounding board to help them, to highlight to them what they actually said.
And what they already know they should
do. Yeah, exactly. What kind of life they actually want to live. Yeah. And so help them and support them and keep them accountable in a way to help them achieve and create a business life they love.
Ah, so do you like coaching? Sounds like you really enjoy coaching.
Yeah, I really enjoy coaching, and the technique I can really use in both pharmacy settings as well as in a clinic setting.
Good point.
To help patient to self-reflect what's actually happening, identify themselves. And a lot of times they actually be able to identify themselves and overcome. So they don't have to spend, money know, thousands of money, try to work out what's wrong with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing wrong. It's that we just need to be aware.
And it was just an imbalance, you know.
That's imbalance, what it, yeah.
In philosophy, you'd say there's an imbalance, there's a block.
Yeah.
Energy block, yeah. Wow. I mean, so I can imagine that, you know, there's lots of different examples of people out there in the health profession as well as others that would love to get involved in this type of awareness activity and emotional development. And what about you? Do you work obviously as a pharmacist a day a week, and then you work and you do more work in the Eastern medicine therapy area? Do you want to continue to do both, or what's your plan for that in the future?
Yeah, definitely. That's my plan, to work in both or combine the both fields, because I can really see that people have that not have the understanding of the Chinese medicine, also not understanding how the herbal medicine or acupuncture. So being a pharmacist, I'll be able to do medication review to understand what current medication or current therapy is, and look at whether there's any drug interactions between that herbal medication and to their current medication, and also help them to increase awareness. Yeah. And Eastern medicines is also a lifestyle solutions. It's a lifestyle a philosophy. It's how you live your life, how you breathe, how you drink your water, what temperature of water you drink, what time you wake up in the morning, and what time you have your shower. So all that actually taken is part of the you know, Eastern medicine. So that's why you can definitely combine them and to help patient to live a healthier life.
Wow. So really Eastern philosophy is a much more holistic therapy than traditional Western medicine, which is more of a band-aid in a way.
So both has its, definitely Western medicine in an emergency situation, we definitely need amazing doctors and nurses, health practitioners to helping people, saving people's lives and using modern medicine. But in terms of lifestyle way of living, the Eastern medicine, a lot of people practice yoga. That's part of former Eastern medicine way, Eastern philosophy way of living lifestyle already. So it's, helping people, walk, both sides. You need the both, live healthier life, but prevent disease as well as treating disease when they have them. Yeah,
that's right. And I mean, and when, in the health professional, in the Western health profession, they don't really delve too much into Eastern therapies, do they, when they're studying?
Not when I went through uni, but I know a lot of health practitioners actually studying and learning extra continuing education, learning about this.
Wow, fascinating! Huh? Wowee! Yeah. So tell us a bit about your TV show and your podcast.
Oh yeah. So we started this Pharmacy Entrepreneur TV and podcast for our global pharmacy entrepreneur community. Yep. So the goal is to celebrate successful pharmacy entrepreneurs who transformed from a dispensing pharmacist or hospital or community pharmacist to their current business, become current business owner, or become innovative. They can be entrepreneurs, don't have to be entrepreneurs of their own. They could be working in a large organization, but very innovative. We want to celebrate that sense of innovative and to help the community solve problems, use our skills, use our knowledge, but add on that bit of creativity and innovation to make the world a better place.
Oh, fantastic. And I'll make sure that I put the links to your TV show and your podcast in the notes for this podcast, so people can go and access and watch, and listen to some of the programs. I think that'll be fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. Very, very talented pharmacists from all over the world. And so I'm very honored and very excited to have this opportunity to host and connect with all these amazing pharmacists.
And did you start the show yourself?
Yeah, I started the show just because during COVID, I felt really lonely. The isolation, I really want to connect with other pharmacists and want to learn from pharmacists from different parts of the world. Wow. So I just start the community and then realize, well, all of these pharmacists feel the same. And then it's amazing to connect and to learn from each other and share our journey, our experience together.
Fantastic. Well, I mean, that has been absolutely sensational, Ali. I've learned so much from you. And I just love the fact that, one thing that I've really taken is that Eastern philosophy teaches more about three-dimensional living, and it's almost like it's preventative. Mm. Whereas Western medicine is fantastic, of course, and very effective, but sometimes it's better to actually take a step back and try and live your life properly so you don't actually, so there's less chance of you getting sick and needing Western philosophy and Western medicine.
Yeah, but prevention. Yeah, prevention is great. Yeah, definitely.
That's a really nice marriage between the two. And I mean, I love your passion and your energy and the, you know, the area and the cause that you are there to champion. So fantastic. If there's any great pharmacists out there that have great stories, get in touch with Ali, because I'm sure she'd love to talk to you on the podcast and, you know, listen to more about what you have to say and your journey. But before we finish up, what's the best way for us to get in touch with you, Ali, if we want to?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, Ali Sue, Sue as in X-U. You can add me on Facebook. And also I'm on Instagram as well. Okay. So, yeah. So
LinkedIn.
You can find me. And LinkedIn as well, the same name.
Awesome. And I'll put those links together with the links to your shows as well. And I always like to ask my guests at the end of the podcast, what are one or two things that you can leave us with that can really help us in our day-to-day? And, you know, I'm sure that you're going to have some great tips and tricks, you know, from a Eastern or Western point of view. Anything you want to leave us with today?
Yeah, it's be intentional, breathing, actually breathe. Yeah. and the second thing is you can start an emotional diary. A lot of people, we have pen diary, diabetes diaries, and we have diet diaries. Yeah. We can have an emotion diary. Actually write out words, try to describe the words, how you're feeling. Initially it could be hard. You may only have one or two words, but gradually as you increase in emotional intelligence, you will have more words to describe how you feel.
Then you might have to start buying a few more books.
then you realize, well, actually I can feel other people, I can connect and I can be heard and seen and understood, and you feel great.
I love it. I think that's what a great way to finish off as well, is I think that I really love the fact that you said self-awareness and self-emotional intelligence leads to intelligence and awareness of others. So, you know, if you don't know where you're at, you don't know where anybody else is at. So it really it starts from within.
Yes.
And I love that. Yeah. I love that concept. And, you know, that's probably a very Eastern philosophical concept as well. Yeah, I love that. But Ali, that was really amazing. Thank you so much for joining us today on the show. You know, all the guests out there, if you want to contact Ali, I'll put all those notes and links for her in the show, and I'm sure she'd love to hear from you. So for everybody out there, thank you so much for listening. It's been a great episode, and we'll be back in a few days for another one. But in the meantime, have a great day, great night, and thank you again, Ali.
Thank you. Bye, Darren.